Check out our interview with Winnipeg Jets goalie Eric Comrie from the Saturday, May 28th, 2022 edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
We're pleased to welcome back to the program a good friend of ours, Winnipeg Jets goaltender Eric Comrie. Eric, first and foremost, not very many guests, athletes, journalists would wait through those technical difficulties we were having. We appreciate it. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
No worries at all. I think I got the wrong link. I think someone sent me the link for last week's show.
That somebody was probably me in that case, and I will owe you an apology. No. I owe Scott Brown an apology.
No. That's Brownie's fault.
You can say that. I'm not going to say that.
We'll agree to say that. I'm going to blame Brownie for that one.
Eric, we're going to send Drew back to copy and paste school.
No. That's all Brownie. I think Brownie's at the wrong link.
Well, whatever it is, we appreciate you joining us, Eric, to talk about this past season, talk about the off season. I want to run something past you. You set career highs in NHL games played, NHL wins, goals against average, save percentage. And on top of that, and I'm sure I've missed some things, you had your first career NHL shutout. When I say all those things, what feeling does that do you get when you hear that?
I'd say a lot of pride. I'm just happy. I'm happy the year went so well. I was happy that all the hard work paid off this season. And it's almost a little bit like hard to speak because it's a dream come true to have that kind of season and be able to play and just play in the NHL as long as stay a whole year in the NHL. That was my goal, just stay the whole year. And for it to go as well as it did was just something I couldn't really expect it, but I put the work in. So I kind of knew there was a possibility for that, but it's hard to describe. It's hard when you say all that stuff, it's really hard to think about.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, you're being humble and you know, but it was a tremendous year. You know, Drew mentioned the shutout that came against the Philadelphia Flyers. So yeah. So on behalf of all of us, congratulations on a great individual year for you. And, you know, we talked about it quite a bit earlier, you know, in the show, the disappointing season. And, you know, there's nobody better to ask than you because you are in, you know, that dressing room. But, you know, just how disappointing was the end of the season? Because even though I'm sure you love the personal accolades and how well you played individually, I don't think that there's anybody in that Jets dressing room that was happy with missing the playoffs.
No, well, first, thank you again for that, for the shout out. Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. But the big one was definitely the disappointment. It was tough. Like, it's hard to describe how upset we were just every single time we lost, every single game. It's like, oh man, no. It just, we felt the pressure at the end, which is kind of tough to deal with. Also just the pressure is like, okay, we got to win every single game here. We truly want to win every single game and make the playoffs. That's all we wanted to do, was make the playoffs every single day. And guys put in a lot of work in the off season last year and a lot of work during the season to get better. Cause we truly believed that we had an unbelievable team and we were destined for great things, and it was truly upsetting and hard to describe, like how much disappointment there was in that room. Like it's hard to just tell you guys like how upset we were, how frustrated we were at times, and just little things like that just didn't go our way. And unfortunately, that's hockey. Like hockey is a very random sport. Like it's probably the most random sport there is, and just sometimes things don't work out the way you want it to. It's one goal game here, one goal game there, and all of a sudden it's like, well, you missed the playoffs by just a little bit, and it was nothing you could do about it. Just things happened along the way, and we had the talent, we had the skill, we had everything we needed. Just didn't work out, and the disappointment really was really high at the end of the year.
You know, Eric, when we had you on last summer, you were designated really as Connor Hellebuck's backup, and you didn't want to be satisfied. You didn't want to accept anything as yours. You wanted to work. You were going to put in all the work last summer that you knew you put in a lot of good work, and you knew you were capable of doing this. There was doubt. I would say on this show, we didn't have that same doubt. We had seen what you had been able to do with the Moose. But again, going back to the idea of validation, you know, you said your goal was to play a full season in the NHL. I mean, it's got to be so validating to know that you had that confidence in your own game and you knew that you put in the work to have been able to come through it and see that you are more than capable of playing at the NHL level.
No, for sure. I mean, that was a lot of like, it gave me a lot of happiness just to know that, hey, the work I did paid off, and it lets me think like now I mean, there's still every single day you got to work. It's funny to say, like everyone says, oh yeah, you establish yourself as an NHL goalie. You never really establish yourselves with anything because you're only good as your last practice. You're only good as your last game. Like for myself, I'm going to go out there and still work every single day to help keep myself in the league because there's a lot of players, a lot of guys fighting to take your job every single day. And I think that you see that sometimes you see guys, oh, I'm comfortable now. I can take a deep breath. I can relax. I've made my spot now. I don't think you can do that anymore. There's too much talent out there. There's too many people trying to take your job every single day. And I know I have to work every single day to maintain my stature of what I've built this year. And I think I've, if I continue doing what I do, I have a little bit of a base now, but I still have to work every single day to maintain the level that I had and for people to trust that. Cause if you go in there thinking, oh no, this is easy. I know what to do here. I know I've got this. I've established myself. Things can get away from you really fast and things can all of a sudden slide backwards. And it's next guy up mentality. There's always somebody looking to take your job, always someone out there. Cause there's a lot of talented people and a lot of really talented goalies out there looking to take that next step.
You know, Eric, you talk about what you need to do individually, being a goalie at the NHL level, at the AHL level, you talk about the tandem. I mean, you work obviously closely with Connor Hellebuck. You work closely with goaltender coach Wade Flaherty. What did Wade Flaherty and Connor Hellebuck do this season that helped you start to take that next step?
I mean, I can't thank Flats and Helly enough. I mean, especially Flats. I mean, we did so much work together. We would work a tremendous amount of time. We'd be on the ice half an hour early every single day, half an hour late. I was always pretty much the first one, always the last one off. And he was with me the whole time. He would never leave me. He would never be late to practice. It'd never just be me. It'd always be him and I working together. We work every single minute and we just skating, so much skating stuff, puck handling stuff, skating, positioning. We did so much of it. I can't thank him enough for like, he put in a lot of time and not a lot of guys do that. There's a lot of goalie coaches who just say, no, take a rest here, take a rest there. He's like, no, we're going to work. And it was great for me. And that's what I wanted. And he knew that's what I wanted. He never had to push me to do that. And I never had to push him to come on the ice with me. And then the results just kept coming. Like I got better and better and better. And he's like, just keep doing what you're doing in practice. And I think for myself, I get my confidence from what I do in practice. So me putting the extra work in, I knew, hey, if I put that extra work in the next game, I'm going to have a little bit. It's going to be a little bit easier because I put that work in. I put that work in again. It's going to be a little bit easier. So I think he saw that and knew that, hey, the more we work, the better he'll be in the games. And then Helly, it's more of like you learn from watching like the greats. So you can always learn from watching the greats. And he's one of the greats in the league. And for myself, to be able to watch him every single day, this, the work he puts in, even in games, how he prepares and how he plays the game, how his positioning is and all that little stuff. It's the little work, even watching video, because we always watch video together. So we talk about different scenarios. And I think that was a big help for me because I'd be able to watch the video with him and he'd be like, the way he sees the game is very different than the way I see the game or the Flat sees the game. So we have three people kind of going together and talking about, on this play, you wanted to project your hands here, but you didn't like how your hand didn't come with you in the backside. So it's that kind of technical talk. You're like, okay, now I see what you're saying. So you go up there the next practice, say, you try it, you're like, okay, that really works. I'm going to make sure I put that in my game or try that little thing. It's just a little bits and pieces of the game, like even the post play, different post play techniques that we'd be talking about in video sessions that really, it's like goalie nerd out session kind of thing. And it was always a lot of fun.
That's awesome. And I wanted to just kind of move away a little bit from the Jets, but not move completely away because this question obviously relates to some of your teammates, but I wanted to ask you about the World Hockey Championship, because obviously Canada, Czech Republic, it's underway. I'm not sure exactly how many minutes into the game it is, but Canada, Czech Republic / Czechia playing right now. Of course, your teammates in that game, friends Adam Lowry and Pierre-Luc Dubois. And then you've got Nate Schmidt. Unfortunately, the U.S. lost to Finland earlier, but I'm not sure if you saw they were down to four defensemen. And Nate played, I think it was 27 minutes on the back end today, but just wanted to ask how much you've been watching, because of course you won the gold medal with Team Canada at the World Juniors back in 2015. How much of the World Hockey Championship have you been watching, and how nice has it been to see, you know, your teammates having that success?
No, for sure. I've been following along actually the whole tournament. I've been making sure that I've been keeping up with them. It's being in the States, it's really hard to watch the games live. I'm not going to lie, because they don't really broadcast them live here. And then I can't watch anything on TSN either because it's blacked out. You're in the States. You can't watch it. So I'm like, well, I can't watch it. So I've been watching the highlights. that game against their last game there, who did they play? They played Sweden. Yes, that was unbelievable. They're down 3-0. Big comeback, all in the third period. Two goals in the last 2 minutes there or something like that. Crazy. And then that pass from Barzal was unbelievable to Batherson backdoor. Doobie had the second goal, I believe, right?
Yeah.
That was a fantastic game. Lowry, of course, he scored on breakaways every time he gets a breakaway shorthanded. Just the typical Lowry goal. So, I mean, they're just doing what they continue to do all season long. And I'm not going to lie, I haven't been following the U.S. as much just because I'm Canadian, so I'm loyal to Canada. So I haven't been following Nate as much, so I haven't seen what they're doing. But I'm cheering for Canada. I really hope they do well. I'm really hoping for Doobie and Lowry because I'm Canadian as well. So I want Canada to win a gold medal every single time. Selfishly, I always want Canada to win a gold medal because I'm Canadian. And but I've been following the scores as much as I can. Unfortunately, you just can't watch it here. It's just I don't know why you can't watch it. I don't know. I'm sure people would love to watch it here. They should think about broadcasting more down here.
You know, Eric, we have to talk about your, like I said, going back to the idea of your first full season in the NHL. I mean, you've played in the NHL throughout the course of your since you turned pro, but this is your first kind of like we talked about your first full year. Was there a moment throughout the course of the year that, or a couple of moments that were just like, you know, a marvel? Like, again, like I said, you don't take things for granted, but something that stood out to you is like a cool moment in your, like I said, in a long pro career already.
Ooh, there was a lot of really cool moments. Just, I mean, one of the really cool moments was coming out of the opening night roster and just skating on the ice is like a, being called your name upon when the season starts, you know, and you skate across the ice, you go to the center ice and you wave. That was really cool to me. Just being to say, wow, I'm being announced in like a NHL roster. Like that was really special to me. Shout out against Philly was obviously really special. Beating LA in LA in front of because a lot of my family was in LA was a lot of fun for me. Oh, I mean, there was a lot of really good moments. Just, I mean, even just, team dinners, like it's funny to say because there's a lot of games you play, but just being with the guys and having team dinners and really just having fun with them and just you really enjoy that time together and you just build the relationships. There were so many, like it's special to think about going back the year, how many like surreal moments there were. But definitely LA, beating LA in LA, opening a roster and the shuttle, they're three big ones for me that I just will remember for the rest of my life. And another big one was beating St. Louis and St. Louis. That was special to me. Beating New Jersey, I mean, kind of a former team of mine. It was really fun for myself as well. Just going in there and I don't know, kind of, everyone says you kind of like make them feel bad for dropping, but it's still the same thing. I don't really care. They're not going to feel bad for them, but it's still a lot of fun kind of just saying, oh yeah, I did that. I beat those guys. So
yeah. Another first for you, Eric Comrie, Winnipeg Jets goaltender, is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Another first this offseason, unrestricted free agency. How is that playing out? What are your sort of, have you had any discussions or your representation had any discussions with the Jets yet? You know, so how are you sort of approaching unrestricted free agency for the first time in your career?
It's funny because if I would have waited one more day last year, I would have been an unrestricted free agent as well because I was group six as well.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm kind of hoping I don't make it to unrestricted free agency again. I'd like to be back. I'd love to be back. I'd love to sign with the Jets. I mean, but we haven't been talking a whole lot because they got a lot of other stuff dealing with. They're trying to find a coach and all that stuff. So I understand 100%. They're very, very busy right now. And I think they're doing a great job of looking at a lot of different candidates for the coaching's job. And whenever that time comes to talk to me, I'd be really happy to talk to them. I'd be really happy to listen. I'd love to be back. I mean, I have a lot of my best friends there. I mean, we have a great group of guys there. I love being there. That room is fantastic. And I would love to be back. I love the goalie coach. I love Helly, so we have a really good relationship there, and I'm sure when the time comes we can figure out something that's going to work for us and it's going to be really easy to get done. I really hope to be back, but unless it depends on what they want to do as well. I haven't talked to them, so we'll see.
Let me ask you something, Eric. You say you got a great group of guys and you have a great room, and then all this off season what those of us who are outside of the room, or those of us who aren't in the room, or you know, those of us are hearing, you know, hearsay is the exact opposite to that. So as somebody in the room, what would you say to those who are saying differently?
Well, you hear the stories about like a few guys that were there that didn't fit in, but I guess, but they were all two of the guys you heard about were trade deadline acquisitions. And I've kind of been one of those acquisitions, and it's hard to get kind of involved in the group midway through a season. It's hard to do that. Like, it's not easy. Like, I've done that before, where I've been a midseason acquisition, and you never really feel a part of the group as a midseason, as an acquisition midseason, because you just, that's the way it is. You haven't been there all year. You haven't been through the team bonding stuff. But for myself, being there all year, we have an unbelievable group of guys. Like, I loved every single minute there. And I think this year, we did an amazing job of bringing guys in. Like, Barron came in. He was a fantastic guy. And we got along with him great. Brooksy came in, and we were unbelievable how close we were with all the guys. I mean, everyone on the team this year was so tight. It's funny to say, but this was probably the tightest group of guys I've ever had this in my whole career. And we all got along really, really well. There was never a time where I was go to dinner and be like, oh man, I'm going for dinner with this guy. Everyone was like, oh yeah, come on in. This guy can come. This guy can come. This guy can come. And it was always just like a big group conversation. We got along really well. Practices were always a lot of fun. Every single day we went to the rink, we had a lot of fun. That's one of the main things you can look at as a group. And I mean, we had a great group. I hear these things and a lot of people say, oh, this and this and this, but I've never felt that way. I never felt that way at all this season. This was by far the best group I've ever had in my whole time playing, which is really surprising to say, because it didn't work. It looked from the outside, it looks like there was something wrong, but there was nothing wrong with that room. That room was very, very good all year.
Well, let me just follow up with that one. And sorry, Ezzy, I know you want to get in there. When Paul Maurice left as the head coach, what impact did that have on the room from your perspective? I mean, it's sort of unusual for a coach to leave midseason. We've heard, you know, some other of your teammates sort of address that in passing. From your perspective, what impact did that have?
That was definitely difficult. I mean, he's a very good coach. It was hard for him to see him step away. I mean, that's a tough question. It's a tricky question right there, because it was a tough thing to see. But also, sometimes maybe a new voice is best. Sometimes a new voice is always going to help you, push you along the way, because sometimes you get stale. Like, anything, you don't have the same teacher every single year through all high school. You don't have the same teacher throughout every single year through elementary school. You have to learn new things from different people. Like, it'd be dumb if you went to the same, if you started in first grade and your first grade teacher kept moving along with you every single year, it wouldn't be very smart. She'd be teaching you the same thing, single things every single day. Every single year, you want someone almost as a young kid, you have someone new teaching you. So you learn new things. So you grow and become smarter. Sometimes it's time for a new voice to step in and just say, hey, this is what we're going to do. You learn new things. You get a little bit more knowledge. You get your game becomes more well-rounded. And I think he knew that, hey, it was time for that new voice. He's been there for a long time, and he was a great coach, but I think he knew deep down, he was like, hey, it was time for a new coach. It was time for a new voice to just kind of lead this group of men to a different platform, to a different place where he thought we could go. And Dave came in, and I think Dave did a really good job. But Dave was all, it's also tough when you have an assistant coach become a head coach. You never know how the dynamic's going to go, if you're going to keep seeing as an assistant coach, or he's going to transform into a different voice to see the head coach. And I think it took us a while to see him as a head coach, which is our fault as players, not his fault as a coach, if you know what I mean. And I think that's it became better as it went on, but I think it was too late. And unfortunately, that's what happened. So I think he did a great job. I think they brought in a really good guy, but it just took us a long time to see what we had, instead of us being like, oh no, he's an assistant coach. Instead of us believing in that he's a head coach, it took too long for that to happen. I think it did happen, but it took too long, if you know what I mean.
No, absolutely. And you know, you use the coach teacher metaphor, Eric, and I wish I had my grade one teacher more, because by the time I got to grade four, I was in the hall every day. So I think that's, you know, for me, I think I would have benefited maybe from having the same teacher. But just wanted to ask you, I mean, when Drew said we were going to have you on, and I agree, thanks for joining us, because it's obviously, you know, a couple hours earlier there on the best coast. But you know, you live in California now, but of course you're from Edmonton. So we got to ask you about the Battle of Alberta, which obviously, you know, just ended. I mean, Connor McDavid, maybe the best hockey we've ever seen him play. But I wanted to ask you specifically about Mike Smith, because obviously as a goaltender, I'm sure, you know, you watch what he's doing maybe a little bit closer than some of the players. Just what, how would you kind of assess that series? Because I think you would agree a lot of people, you know, were picking Calgary to win that series, but it ended up being the Oilers in five.
That was a crazy series. So it's funny because we always do, like, my family, like my brothers and I, my brother and my dad, we chose what team we think would win each series. And I had Calgary winning because I was like, there's just no way. I mean, I don't know. I'm a bit of an analytic nerd a little bit too, which is kind of weird to say. I'm a bit of, like, no hockey players are analytic nerds, but I'm a little bit of an analytic nerd. I said, there's just no way. Everything lines up. Everything says Calgary. Every single thing in the world says Calgary's going to win the series. So I'm like, well, they must win the series. But that, once again, it's hockey. Like, you think a Vezina finalist is going to beat the guy that Oilers fans want to run out of town half the time. So you're like, okay, well, this is going to be easy. The Vezina finalist is going to win easily, right? And once again, it's five games, and five games in hockey is just a random thing that can happen. And Markstrom didn't play his best hockey, and all of a sudden Mike Smith just looked like he was the greatest goalie of all time half those games. He was playing unbelievable. And then still, I mean, they still want to run him out of town after he lets in the third goal of that one game, because it's like, oh no, he's the worst goalie ever. Then all of a sudden he wins overtime. He's the best goalie ever. It's funny how that works, you know? It's so funny. And then he played unbelievable, and then McDavid was just superhuman. And then, I mean, Draisaitl playing on a high ankle sprain. I mean, that's, I mean, I've seen guys with high ankle sprains. You're not supposed to be able to skate. He looks like he's fine out there. He looks 100% normal. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And then the Rangers series, like, this year of playoff hockey has been absolutely incredible. Like, I can't take my eyes off the TV. I've watched almost every single game of the whole playoffs this year, and it's been fantastic. I mean, Rangers series, Carolina's been fantastic. That Colorado series is really good all of a sudden. I mean, it's been fantastic hockey. Like, I mean, there's not been one series where, like, oh man, that's kind of boring. Even, I know the Florida Tampa series was a sweep, but it was good hockey the whole time. Mm-hmm. And Vasilevskiy just stole the show. And it was, as a goalie, that was like, oh, that was the most impressive thing I've ever seen. I mean, Vasilevskiy's doing, I mean, my brothers were saying to me, like, so my dad, we were at dinner with my brother and my dad last night. Actually, Mark Scheifele's in town right now, staying in my house too. He's here. So where it was myself, Mark, my dad, and Ty at dinner last night.
Does he want to come on the show also?
he's actually working out in the gym right now. I'm sure you guys could have a good conversation with him too.
I'm sure we could.
Yeah. So we're at dinner last night, and all of a sudden, my brother goes, like Vasilevskiy, I think, cemented himself as maybe the best goalie of all time. I'm like, what? I don't know about this. You got Hasek, you got one. I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I don't know if I can argue against it anymore. Like, it's hard. It's a hard argument to make that he's not the best of all time anymore. Elimination games, the guy doesn't get scored on anymore. It's absolutely incredible. You know, like, Eric, game 7 against Elise was just special too. I mean, it was incredible what he did.
And you know, one of the biggest things I think probably playing into that is having the fans back. I mean, you can just feel the difference. And I know you would say that when you actually have fans in the building, it's such a different environment. And, you know, the last couple of playoffs, obviously playing them in the summer, it's harder to draw that interest without fans, even a limited number of fans in Canada, at least. It just didn't have the same impact. No. And as soon as you see that the sea of, you know, the Calgary is full, Edmonton is full, the buildings are full, even when they're playing in the other cities, the outside, the it just adds such a different element. And it makes it so much more exciting for those of us even watching on television, let alone you playing.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I'm a player, but right now I catch myself being a fan right now because it's so good. I'm just watching every single minute. I'm like, wow, this is the best hockey I've seen ever. And I think, I mean, you guys have the Sportsnet, we have, like, we're in the States, we have TNT and ESPN. Mm-hmm. They're doing a fantastic job. Like, just how much they're growing the game. I know NBC had it before, but, like, it was sometimes hard to, like, we're talking about this last night, the ratings being way up in the States for hockey. I mean, it would be hard to watch on NBC because you're like, oh, what channel is it on? Is it on 220? Is it on way below? Now everyone goes to ESPN to watch sports and, like, oh, hockey's on. I might as well put it on. Or TNT to watch basketball. Oh, hockey's on. I might as well put it on. I think it's been unbelievable for the game. Like, just getting back on ESPN and TNT has been, like, I think it's going to be a game changer for hockey. I think it's really going to grow the game. I'm really excited to see where it's going to take it. Because, and their crew they have on is a great crew. I've been really enjoying it. It's been a lot of fun to watch the games and just listen to them, and just, you get to see the atmosphere, and it's been unbelievable. Like, I'm just really enjoying it so far.
Eric, we could talk to you for hours on end, but I'm sure you have things you want to do on your Saturday morning. We appreciate you waking up early with us.
We'll talk to Mark now, Eric.
No, we got to go golf today now.
I was going to say, I was going to hope you guys are going golfing at least.
Yeah, we golfed yesterday. It didn't go well for us. We got beat up yesterday.
You and Mark
got the big Friday game at the golf course, and it was a rude awakening for us. Let's put it that way.
Reminding you why you're a professional hockey players and not professional golfers. Was that one of those kind of days?
Yes, we're hoping that when the handicaps. Let's put it this way: I started as a every summer I come back as a 5.7 index because my handicap really drops.
Yeah,
I'm up to like a 10.1 right now from a 5.7, so I've gone up five whole points. It's ugly right now. It's not the game. It's not where I want it to be, but it's hopefully it will start coming around.
You'll be in midseason form in no time. But the last question is always the hardest question. We heard some barking. We heard some squeaking. We got to see the dog.
You want to see the dog?
We got to see the dog.
Shepherd? Hey, Django, come here, buddy. Buddy. Oh, come here. Come here. Let's see him. Django, come here. He's worried about Oliver, the chase dog right now. Let's see if I can get my camera to see him. Here you go, buddy.
There you go. Hey, nice Shepherd.
Hey.
Oh, German Shepherds are
the
best.
We can see it. Yeah. Do they get along?
They get along really well. Chase dog Oliver is a little bit of a duck toll retriever, and Django's a big German Shepherd, and they get along really well, actually. So,
are the goats there too?
No, the goats are not here.
Mark doesn't bring the goats with him.
No, but the dogs are playing along really well. There's Oliver right there, and there's Django watching him. Oliver's been swimming in the hot tub a lot. And my dog is terrified of the water. She's like, "What are you doing, man? You're gonna get yourself killed in there." He's like, "Screaming, get out of there! You're gonna get yourself killed."
Well, in that case, we'll let you get to the golf. We'll let you get to the dogs. You can say hi to Mark for us as well. Eric, thank you so much for joining us. We always appreciate your time. Hopefully, we'll be able to do it again this off season before the season starts. And hopefully, like you said, you're a member of the Winnipeg Jets, and we can keep the conversation going. All the best to you.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Awesome. You guys have a great day and enjoy Winnipeg. Hopefully back.
Thanks, Eric. Take care. All the best.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.